Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On some level, most people want to belong to something. To what do you belong? What identifies who you are? Think of the boxes you check when you fill out certain kinds of forms. You certainly belong either in the male or female category of humans. You may have noticed there are only those two boxes there. You belong in a particular age group, even if you don't always act it. You belong in a certain income bracket. Your skin indicates a certain belongingness with those who are colored similarly. But there are ways of belonging which are not quite as universal, not as easily cataloged. You might belong officially to a certain social organization or club, or maybe unofficially to a certain group of friends. People know that you belong to this group and hang out with these people. But in some way, in many ways, you belong. Some of the ways you belong are your own choosing, those organizations, friends, income to a certain extent, while some of them are not, your gender or your family of origin, for example. You were created by God. In that way, you belong with every other human on and even off the planet. But that does not make you belong completely and wholly to God. You were born alienated from Him. You were a stranger and alien to His grace, though you did not yet realize it. You did not belong to Him, not really. You were on your own, wrapped up in your own sins. You belonged to your family, but even if they belonged to Him, that does not come automatically to those born to a particular family. We cannot make other people belong in God's family. And that's how you began. But at some point, He called you. It may have been through your family of origin, through your parents, or it might have been through someone else, but He called you. It might have been when you were a baby, or it might have been just recently, but He called you. Through His word, He called you. He chose you. He chose you. You did not choose Him. This is an important distinction. You did not decide on your own to follow Him, because that does not happen without faith. And faith in Him is a gift, not something that we are born with or something we acquire on our own. Now, though, you are a part of His flock. You are not a part of His flock because you are special, but you are special because you are a part of His flock. When He called you, He created faith in you, faith which trusts in His promises. Sadly, there are many who are called, who ignore, despise, or otherwise do away with this gift of faith. But you received the gift, and you believe in Him and in His promises, and that makes you a sheep in His flock. Well, that almost makes you a sheep, I guess. I should also mention the price, because there is a price to being a sheep in His flock. You see, you are not a cheap sheep. Say that 5 times. Your price was measured in blood. You were set to be slaughtered. It would not happen immediately, but you were being fattened up for a very singular purpose. You were probably like the, as Josh mentioned, sheep tend to be, blissfully unaware of your fate. Kind of, if I may, stupidly going along with the crowd. But soon enough you would find out. So He came along and paid the price for you. He sacrificed his own blood on your behalf to rescue and make you a part of his flock. No more slaughterhouse, only green and verdant pastures for you. He has no need to fatten you up, but takes care of you because he cares about you. Not about what you will be for him or do for him, but about who you are. Why would he care about you, though? It's a good question. Some people struggle mightily over that. Why would God care about me? You are his creation. Like I said, so are plenty of others who are not of this flock, but you received what he gave. You trusted. You trust in him. You follow him. Still, that does not explain why he did what he did before he called you. But that is thinking too much in human terms. We want to know why. We need a reason. But God does not. He just is. He created you and he loves you. He sent the great shepherd of the sheep to pay the blood price for you just because of who he is, not because of who you are, because of what he does, not because of what you have done or will do. And he called you, giving you faith which trusts in him, just because it is his proper work to love you and show you grace and mercy. That is simply God being God. And so he shows you compassion. Splachna. He was compassionate when he saw you, when you were not part of his flock. He saw that you were a sheep without a shepherd. He was compassionate when he washed you in the waters of holy baptism. He became your shepherd, ready to give his life for you. He is still compassionate as you live in this fallen world, and he knows what it is like. He's been here. He also knows that something is wrong. He sees the sins with which you struggle. To say that he has compassion on you requires a need for compassion, requires a reason for the compassion. He sees the frustrations with which you live. He knows your doubts and your temptations. He knows all of it, and he still has compassion on you. He knows how you get frustrated with some of the other sheep. He knows that sometimes you gaze fondly at the grass in the other pastures. He sees that you disregard his word at times. He recognizes that you do not always honor those he sends to care for you. He knows that you are not always good at following, but sometimes try to lead where he does not take you. And still, he has compassion. He has patience and compassion for you, his sheep. When Jesus saw the crowd that day, he recognized that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. And so what did he do? He began to teach them. Not life principles, not how to be happy or purpose-driven, but he taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them what it means to be sheep, trusting in a good shepherd, to have a shepherd in whom they could trust, not the shepherds of old who scattered the sheep. And then when the time was right, as it grew late, and he recognized their hunger, he gave them something to eat, a bit of a miracle, as it were, feeding more than 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus had compassion on them. So he cares for you. He gives you his word. Through the written word, he tells you of his promises made and promises kept. Through the spoken word, he declares your sins forgiven, all of them, and reassures you of his mercy and grace. You have the word in your hand to sustain you daily, reminding you of his promises. But without that gift of faith, that word would be next to useless to you. He has given you something that goes beyond quality or ability in you. He has given you peace as you trust in his promise. He has reached a hand out to you, as it were, to rescue you and comfort you. He holds you as a father holds his young daughter's hand, reassuring you that he is with you always to the end of the age. He also takes care of your daily bodily needs, even as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. He gives you food to eat and clothing to wear. He has put you in a place where you can worship him in peace and safety. He has given you access to doctors and medicines through which he brings healing. He takes care of you in this earthly kingdom as he prepares you for eternal life in his eternal kingdom. He also has given you the body and blood of the great shepherd of the sheep, that same body and blood which were sacrificed in the greatest act of compassion to pay your ransom. He continues to give it to you, not just once, but regularly, to eat and to drink, that you may taste and see that the Lord is good. He gives it to you that you receive the forgiveness of your sins in a tangible, physical way. He gives Jesus' body and blood to you so that you eat and drink life itself, eternal life. Beloved, you are God's flock, and he cares for you. He called you each individually into his flock and made you one of his own, marking you with his cross. He shows compassion, and though you sin, he continually forgives you. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in you. He has called you, and he cares for you. You are his, and he continues to feed you, his little lambs. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.